Well, I'll give you all a warm welcome tonight to our gospel meeting. It's lovely to be able to gather together this October night in praise and worship of our Saviour. That's why we're gathered here tonight. I'd just like to one or two intermissions for the weekend that's ahead. First off, the Women's Fellowship. I've got two tickets in this, Norman. The Women's Fellowship, 27th October at 7 p.m. It's Thursday the 7th, Thursday 26th of October, 7 p.m. Speaker Abby Peary, also a BMS Bring and Buy Sale. That right, Christian? Right, enough of that. Okay, that's that. All right. Just mine, there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. The pastor lays a lot of emphasis on prayer, and we didn't fully comprehend, we didn't really care how much is achieved through prayer. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m., Saturday night at 7 p.m., and Sunday morning at 10:15, all in the upper room up the stairs. And next Lord's Day, God willing, the speaker will be Pastor Robbie Brown. And I think next Sunday night is the hostel prayers, all that, isn't it? The service next Sunday will start at 5:45, 5:45. Service will start next Sunday evening for a hospital praise. Now, I saw the intermission stung together tonight, and trusting the Lord will undertake for all these things. And of course, it's just in His will, God's will. Right, let's get a start. Fits the first time, Andrew. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I've got him written down somewhere. We'll start off an act with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 419. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free.
Thank you.
ask Alex Smith, he'll come up and what we're meeting in prayer. Thank you, Alex.
Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. We just pray, Lord, that you will bless this time together to worship and praise you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for all who are taking part, Lord. May you bless each and every one. And may you use Albert, Lord, tonight as he proclaims the gospel message. May it touch a heart, maybe a heart that is waiting, Lord. And we just pray that if there's any soul here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that maybe tonight they would know, they would ask the Lord Jesus into their heart and they would know the joy of salvation. Heavenly Father, we just sung to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full on his wonderful face. And Lord, if we could only turn our eyes to you each and every day, help us, Lord, to look up to you. Because you never fail us, Lord, but we often fail you. Forgive all our sins and our trespasses, Lord. Forgive all the times we fail you. But Lord, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, until the end of age. We may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name, Lord. And Lord, we just bring before you others tonight, Lord, that are unable to be with us. Maybe due to ill health, Lord, we just pray a healing touch upon each and every one. We pray, Lord, for those who are confined to home, can't get out, drawn to their presence, Lord, that they know that you are there with them. And Lord, for those who have been bereaved, we especially pray that you draw near to them. We think of Alec and Karen at this time, Lord, and we just pray that you would draw near to them. May they turn upon to look to you, Lord, because you are the God of all comfort. Again, Lord, we just thank you that we could come into your presence, not through any merits of our own, but that through the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that as the word goes forth, that your Spirit would be upon us, Lord. And Lord, that we would know that we have met with you here tonight. These things we ask, Lord, in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Alec. Thank you very much. One other intermission. The table's prepared, it's set. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, there's a place around that table waiting on you. The Lord would love to see you there. And it's reserved for you. And if you've been redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, your Lord's, you have a place at that table. A wonderful way to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't we do a glory in it? But we're told to do this in remembrance of me. So after this meeting, the table will be, it is set, and it will be partaken of. So feel free to stay behind and offer your thanks and thanksgiving for that seat at the table. Okay, we'll continue. I did find my ticket. It's number 841, number 841. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Let's just bow our heads. Does everybody hear that okay? You picking that up all right? Okay, that's good. Let's just bow our heads and have a prayer of intercession. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this, another opportunity of drawing into your presence, Father. We thank you that we can come, not in our own righteousness, but through the precious blood of the Savior. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather here tonight without fear of man. We thank you, Father, that we can come here and worship and praise and exalt our Savior. And we thank you, Father, that we have a wonderful freedom to name Jesus as Lord. And Father, we think of our brothers and sisters in foreign lands, Father, lands not so far distant sometimes, where they're being persecuted and prosecuted for naming the name of Jesus. We cannot understand how we would get on in that circumstances, Father. Often question my faith of how I would stand. Would we be able to withstand the evil one? Would we be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? And so, Father, we ask for our blood-bought people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, joint heirs with him of our Abba Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are raising up to thyself a people from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. Red and yellow, black or white, all are precious in your sight. And we thank you, Father, even today, this day in October, you have called unto thyself. You've redeemed those who were lost in sin. And we thank you
that there has been great rejoicing with the heavenly hosts of angels over sinners saved by grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gospel message, the good news of salvation. And we just pray that wherever it is proclaimed tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted. He will be held high, Father. And we just ask that, as he could say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all manner of men and women, boys and girls, unto myself. We ask that your word will not return to your void, but it shall accomplish that for which you sent it. So, Lord, we think Andrew up in Putnoki, and we just trust that you've given him journey mercies, Lord, and we just ask that you'll be with him as he'll proclaim the good news of salvation. And every other messenger of the cross in this town of Fraserburgh, Father, where the true gospel message is being proclaimed, that Jesus died for sinful men and women, that there is a way back to yourself. And so, Lord, we just pray for those who would have loved to have been here, but through various circumstances cannot manage. Some in home with Father unwell, some just cannot get out. Some in hospitals, Father, we just ask that you will be their portion where they are, that you will bless them, Father. We thank you for that wonderful comforter, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, because you've promised not to leave us comfortless. So, Father, we just ask that you'll take over this meeting from us and pray that all things, everything, will be done for your honor and for your glory, for the worship of the King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Rebecca, would you come up and give your Bible reading, please?
Thank you. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1-6. Once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm, but ignored it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't send the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their death.
Thank you, Rebecca. That was big with you. Thank you very much. We'll sing again on the, if I can find my ticket again, is it this time? 398. I had it looked up in a 398. Hark, the gospel news is sounding. Christ has suffered on the tree. Streams of mercy are abounding. Grace for all is rich and free. The free gift of salvation has been sounded out tonight all throughout this world we live in. The glory of the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel 33, in that first six verses, in fact, just about all through that chapter, we're being warned. There's warnings going out to you and to me. We've been reading a lot, or hearing a lot, rather, about warnings this past while back, this past weeks in America, and throughout the world, California, everywhere, there's warnings going out of hurricanes and to come, and hurricanes that have been, destruction everywhere. California, so much people have lost their lives, fires are raging, and the warning's going out to escape, get away, go as far from it as you can. And yet you can have still folk decided to stay where they were. And the fires have consumed everything they have. Through the floods in Pakistan, through the floods throughout the world, men and women hinna heeded the warnings to their own detriment. A lot of them have lost their lives because they didn't heed the warnings. And there's warnings here in Ezekiel chapter 33. Let me just read them again to you. Ezekiel 33, in that first six verses that Rebecca read to us. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set them for their watchmen, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's a very solemn word to you and to me as believers tonight. When was the last time we did we sound the trumpet? When was the last time we spoke to somebody about their soul's eternal destiny? And it's telling us here, if we didn't do that, if we didn't warn the people, they're going into Christless eternity. And our folk, even though we're doing just outside this door, we're going on, heedless and different, to their soul's eternal destiny. Warnings. We hear hurricanes, typhoons, floods. It's usually nowadays, as it's happening, we see it on our very TV screens right into our living rooms. We can't avoid it. And warnings are there for a reason, to warn the people. I'll just look at the forecast for we're hoping to get a while with the caravan tomorrow, but I think we'll be blown off the road later on in the day. But the warnings are out for wild wind for this area, northeast Scotland. Our traffic lights. Now a red light usually typifies danger or signals danger. Or a red flag signals danger or stop. Beware, take heed. The foghorn needs to start to blow up at Castle Terrace here, and we would have heard it the first couple of blasts, we'd say, oh, that's the foghorn started. Must be thick, must be foggy. And after that, we didn't hear it. We were so used to it, we didn't hear it. And I used to mind and lie in my bed, and the big Fuckley lum, Fuckley chimney for you, the chimney you used to give it a lum is, it used to be just outside our bedroom up the stairs, and you look at the Fuckley roof, and the big Fuckley lum stuck up. And there's a light to us, it come down dark at night, there's a light to swung its beam round, which is a warning to people, warning to seafarers, it has rocks and danger ahead. It was not a red light, but it was a light, it was warning. It was sending out that signal to watch your sail, you're coming in deep to the land. And I can mind and go into it, I think it was 16 seconds it used to take to go from one full circle. And it hit the big factory alarm, and the reflection bounced back into my bedroom. It just lighted up the wall for a second, and away it went again. They used to start the count again, and bit out every time, steady as could be. It's warning that there's a reef near. A reef is near. Leading lights to harbour are there for a purpose. And our Lord Jesus Christ is our leading light. And we have to get onto that leading light, or else we're going to go onto the rocks. A leading light at the harbour is usually a high light at the back and a lesser light at the front. And as you come in into the channel for coming up the channel, these two lights come in line. You're too far in, one will be too far away from the other. Either way, you could miss the channel and you'll come to destruction. There's rocks, there's pebbles, there's shoals. Nowadays there's a new light, I believe, James, at the harbour. A sector light now, isn't it? White you come in on now, is it? Aye. There's a red light, green light, and there's a little white one in the middle. And if you're spot on the channel nowadays, it's that little white light that you come in on. But the locals, they usually come at their day in. But strangers, as I built the boats in, the cargo boats in, the skippers used to, we used to take them for maybe half a mile off and get them swung up and line up the lights and try and keep that ship on the leading lights. Was they good to do some days, 85, 90 metre boat, and the tide and the area wind took them away in it or whatever. And I mind one night it was half a thick and we couldn't even see the leading lights. And when you was 80 metres for the boat stem, we was only seeing about 50 metres, couldn't even see the stem of the boat. And I mind the same of Brother Victor, go out my stem and just for I can see you, so that you can get, I can get lined up in you. And I couldn't even see him. And I come full astern, he shouted to me, full astern, of course. And I said to the captain of the ship, full astern, captain, and just looked at him as though I was feel. Coming into the harbour, why? I was come full astern. And as he come astern, they wake him off a boat. We go to thrust down, we turn to the wall back out the other half mile and come back in again. We were going and standing into the danger. We'd missed the channel. We'd missed the entrance. We couldn't even see it at that time. And again, as the world is going on heedless and different today, they hinna seen the warning lights. They hinna heeded the warning that's being proclaimed. They're nae interested. I was at myself. I kinda point the finger at nobody. Nobody was mere wayward than I was before the Lord saw something in me and touched me through his spirit. And I dare say we're all the same. But I'll just get to, for a short time, I was going to tell you about three warnings. Job 36 and 18 tells us, because there is wrath. Is wrath. Beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot and will not redeem thee. I'll read that to you again. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. You see, there was a great ransom paid for your salvation and mine. And it was paid through the cross of Calvary, through the Lord Jesus Christ, being nailed to that cross in Calvary to give up his lifeblood and his body for you and for me. The ransom has been paid. But friends, if you did not take heed of that warning, and that because there is wrath, beware. Beware. There used to be signs up in the park sometimes, beware of the bull. Now we used to be, if you did ignore that, you was going into danger. I mind him being in a yogi with Jeanette's brother Robert, Albert's brother Robert, a lot of years ago. Just a young man, it's a lot of years ago. 50 years ago and mayor maybe. And I can mind me and Robert stand in the banks of the yogi fishing a walk, quite happy. And I said, Robert, look at this coming up the bank of the park. Here's a herd that goes in one ball. And that one ball was plenty. And the both of us could enter the river and wind across the other side. Bear a while his own, and then we went. Was thinking a chance it. beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. His stroke, then a great ransom cannot redeem thee. Job 33 and 14 tells us, for God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth, does not pay attention to, does not become aware of it not. Does not what 90 day wait? God speaks once, yet twice, man perceiveth it not. It also tells us in Exodus, in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. He strove for me, I thank him a night and praise him a night, that he strove for me. Didn't he got with me? And we can all really relate to that, praise the Lord, that he didn't give up once. Because we'd given up on him, I'd given up on him. You see, that's a warning, friends. The warning's going out tonight, the gospel of God's grace. But you see, for there's a warning, there's a solution. Where there's a warning, there's a solution. Let me just read a few verses to you in Romans Gospel. Romans chapter 5, I think it is. Let me just read this to you. My memory's not what it was. Sometimes I get things wrong. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That was you and me in our ungodly state. We didn't want the Lord. We didn't want God. We didn't want nothing to do with him. And that was you and me. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He never came to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God. Lovely word that, but, isn't it? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing, you think about it. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. But we were not his friends. We were enemies and alienated for God. Yet God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful message tonight. It's a message of hope to this world. It's a message of encouragement to me. Because we were sung here tonight, we're only sinners, saved by grace. Saved by grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That's a warning, that's a solution to that first three verses that I read. Proverbs 27 and 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a new day may bring forth. And that's very true in this day we're living, isn't it? We know not what a new day may bring forth. We hear it every day, people being ushered into eternity. Avalanches, earthquakes, floods, you name it. People are being ushered into eternity. And they say that they've made plans for tomorrow. We've made plans a wee bit for the morning and the day after. I'm sure why, Dave, we'll look ahead a wee bit. But tomorrow is near ours, friends. Tomorrow is not ours to hold on to. When we're young, we don't look ahead sometimes. And it's a true saying that says, the young may, but the old must. All going to pass through this life, friends. If you look back, your father's life, what is life? It's even as a vapor. A vapor. You see, you boil the kettle, you see the steam coming out, as far as it goes, it disappears. It's gone. Never to be taken up. And there's a verse of scripture in the, that I'll touch on just shortly. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for ye know not what a new day may bring forth. That's a warning for you. And we read in Luke chapter 12, 15 to 20. I'm not going to read it, but you can look it up. The rich man, he's looking out upon his harvest, and he says, oh, my fields are full. What a harvest I've got tonight. What a harvest I'm going to have this year. I canna contain it. Fit me again today. I came to thee, he says, I'll pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. Take it all in. The fit of the Lord God said to him, Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? There'd be enough, I think, to be called a fool. David went up to the grave at Abner's lane, and he said, Oh, Abner, died Abner as a fool died. Your hands were not tied, neither were thy feet in fetters. Abner stepped outside that door of mercy, door of refuge, city of Hebron. If he just stayed inside, Job asked him to come outside and look, a very foolish man he went. If he'd stayed for a ways, he could have spoken him out through the door, inside the refuge, in the safety of the city of refuge. Yet Abner stepped outside the door and said, Job smote him under the fifth rib, that he died. And that was King David looking into that grave that morning, or afternoon, they buried Abner. Died Abner as a fool died. That terrible. I'm sure us now want to be in that situation tonight. That the Lord would say to us, Thou fool. Really sad. The solution to that is Samuel 14:14. Whereas what are spilled upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. If I take a cup of water, say, and I pour it onto this ground, yes, we'll maybe manage to mop up mess to it on the floor here. But if I go outside into the garden here and pour it onto the grass or onto the earth, where's it going to go? It's disappeared, it's gone. And it cannot be gathered up again, friends. Cannot be gathered up again. Whereas water spilled, we must all needs die, or as water spilled upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. But God, hallelujah, but God hath devised a means where his banished us may not be expelled from him. That's the gospel message. Whereby his banished, you and me, you and I, banished, sinful men and women. We've been redeemed, ransomed. Ransom has been paid on the cross of Calvary. Warnings. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Or the ways of death. That's really sad, isn't it? There's a way which seemeth right unto man. I'm sure we've acted in the wrong road many a time. I mean, going round around about three times, and I'm sitting snake, we've been here afore. Nah. I says, what for that sign to Milguy? Who's your Uncle Sandy in Milguy? I says, a sign for Milguy. Oh, that's it. All right, that's fine. Right, up the next one, back row. We've all gone the wrong way. And it's not a good thing to go, especially in the motorway, you can't get turned off. But we've all gone the wrong way. We follow the sat-nav sometimes and finished up in some queer places, not one-way streets. We've had that, I dare say, just because we follow the wrong thing. And friends, if we are following the wrong thing tonight, we are following the world. There's a way which seemeth right unto man and woman, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a warning, the ways of death. There's two deaths. There's two ways, God's way and man's way. Man says, oh, but I'm right, I can't know why. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Two roads. There's a broad road, which is man's road. I dare say if we'd been doing it some of the places for a big fibber, much as we've been on this weekend, I'd follow the fibber, I've been hundreds of thousands of folk can do that road towards the stadiums and piling in through the turnstiles into the seats. If you could do it round the corner and up the road a wee bit further, you'd have seen ones and twos and dribbles and drabs going into a kirk or going into a meeting place. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way. And few there be that are on it. God's way. as the wise and the foolish, as the lost and the found. We ken the story, the prodigal son. This was my son. He was lost. The old elder son was not happy. The prodigal son demanded his birthright. Give me what you're due, my father, and let me get a wife of here. He was fed up with the parental control and the rules and discipline that was in the family home. But praise God, his father knew better. But he gave him what he was due, and he went away into far country. And there he spent all on riotous living. In the next picture, we see the prodigal son, after all his friends that he'd fed and drunk with and the dying with, all forsook him. Far as he's in a pig pen. He's looking after the pigs, the lowest of the low. And it says he could even have eaten the swill and the things that the pigs were being fed on. He was us hungry. And it's come to a realization. Put them a day in here. Put them a day in here. My father's room and food in plenty. I will arise and go to my father. And his father was standing at hilltop, looking out for him where he'd been many a time, I dare say. And he saw him away in the distance, afar off. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. What a welcome home. This my son was lost. And here found. What a wonderful picture of the Saviour tonight. Wonderful picture. He's waiting for you and for me. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight, this warning is for you. It's for every one of us, really, but it's for us and them and us who are ungodly, still outside of Christ, far away for the Saviour. The five wise, the five foolish virgins, they hadn't enough oil to keep themselves going. And they said to the other, see some of your oil till the bridegroom comes. No, can't I give you oil? Go on, get your own oil. You should have been prepared. And the time they were away, if it happened, the bridegroom came and went into the marriage feast. And it says the door was shut. The door was shut. And they couldn't get in. They were foolish. They were foolish. And it tells us in John 3 and 18, that now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Let me just read it to you. A wonderful bit of scripture. We can John 3 and 16, it follows on for that. A wonderful bit of scripture. John 3 and 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you and me tonight, friends, we are the whosoever. We are the whosoever tonight. For God so loved Albert that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Albert believed in him, Albert should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you got that promise tonight of everlasting life? Are you saved? It's an old-fashioned word. Maybe I hear a lot of it nowadays. It's an old-fashioned word. It's pertaining. Whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Scriptural. Saved. Redeemed. Brought back. Ransomed. Forgiven. What a wonderful prospect we have as believers. And one day our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his own blood-bought people. Praise God, I'm going to be there. I wonder if we came tonight, there would be folk left sitting in their seat. Oh, it would be sad. That would be really sad. Believeth not. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. Nay, later on, where you are tonight, sitting in a seat in the Baptist Church in Fraserburgh at 7:05 on the 15th October. You're condemned already. What if the Lord come back to you? Wouldn't it be great that each and every one of us be gathered up? Wouldn't it? What a privilege that would be. What a gathering that would be. A gathering of a ransom. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not, or she hath not, believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is really sad. Really, really sad. The solution to that is John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way. The only way. You see, it tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. If we are looking forward and hoping to get the glory in our own merits, we're not going to mark it, friends. We're not going to be there. I'm trusting in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to trust on tonight. I'm relying on it, totally. Relying on the precious blood of Calvary to see me homeward in glory. What are you relying on tonight? Good works? A lot of folk are relying on that. Aye, but I've done this. I mean, I work it with a man and he says, oh, but I've never done that in the hell. And I quite believe he hadn't. Sure he hadn't. Decent man, lovable man, great man to work with. But he wasn't saved. He never saw a need for salvation. And I couldn't get through it, lamb. He'd done it for the hit today. He'd paid his 20 pence the pound or whatever it was at the time. He'd done, oh, I think it was right, his family and one thing or another. And yet he was going into Christless eternity. All our self-righteousness are as filthy rags, worthless, useless. They've been thrown away, but yet we can be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, even the night far we're at. Clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Warning, and I'm going to finish. The wages or the payment for sin is death. Now, death is a thing we don't want to speak about, we don't like to speak about, but it's a thing that's happening every second, every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. The wages of sin, or the payment for sin, is death. But, that's a warning. Let me just read this to you. Back to Romans again. Let me just quote it, because I'll maybe get it wrong. Back to Romans again, Romans 6. Where am I? And 23. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift, free gift, the free gift of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have or receive everlasting life. God loves you tonight, friends. He loves you with unchangeable love, an inseparable love, a commended love. He loves you with all his being. He loves you so much, you and me tonight, that he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, up for a living sacrifice on Calvary. For your sin and for mine. And all you have to do tonight is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And you shall be saved. It's so simple. It's so easy. There's nothing hard about it. But it's a one step that we have to take. It's only a step. Only a step. Why not take it now? You see, you come in through that door tonight. There's two sides to that door. There's the outside and the inside. But you have to come in. And the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at his Father's right hand tonight with arms outstretched, waiting to welcome you in. Stephen had that wonderful vision of the Lord Jesus Christ standing at his Father's right hand as he was being stoned and killed for the precious name of Jesus, the first martyr. He saw, as it were, the Son of Man standing at his Father's right hand. What a vision to hear. What a picture to hold on to. And I believe that with all my heart, we passed for this earthly toil. If we are believers in the Lord, he's standing there with his arms wide open, waiting to welcome you home. Father, this is Albert. I died for him. He's accepted the redemptive power of the cross. Welcome home. Welcome home. The story's told to the mister that was out for him for a lot of years. And he came away home, and as he was coming off the train or off the boat, I can't just mind how the story went. There was a big band playing and big fanfare and a lot of goings on and singing and dancing in the middle of this. And he thought, oh, this is great. But some big celebrity came off the boat in front of him, and he was left standing himself. Disappointment filled that man's heart. But the Lord come to him. You're nae him yet. You're nae him. And we've got to look forward to that one day we shall see Jesus. One day we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Friends, well, time's gone. It's 7 o'clock. You see, the choice is yours tonight. I can't make that choice for you. If you're not saved tonight, I can't do it for you. Maybe you can. We would love to tell. We would be delighted to tell. But we can't. It's entirely up to yourself. You either heed the warnings or you neglect them. I've blown the trumpet. Name my trumpet, friends. I've blown the trumpet tonight, a warning. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a sudden stroke. Then a great ransom cannot redeem thee. Because there is wrath, beware. Oh, it's terrible. The wrath of God is something terrible to look upon. I've done my part. The rest is up to you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord tonight, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It is a great salvation. It's a wonderful salvation. But it's a pure salvation. It's a real salvation. And you didn't experience that realness until you succumbed to the Lord and say, Lord, take me as I am. I come no other way. That night I was saved, I couldn't believe the peace that came into my heart. I'd been agonizing the soul for a long time, a lot of months. And when I stood up off my knees beside my bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was though the hell burden of my life had been taken away. And it was. But it was a burden. So if you want that burden taken away tonight, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And we'll be able to sing together. What a gathering. I can't sing. I'll be able to sing it someday. What a gathering of the ransom that will be. And it'll be wonderful to care that everyone here in act is homeward bound for glory. Isn't it? Lovely. Lovely. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to come into your house, Father, and to proclaim your word. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that if there be anyone here tonight, Father, still undecided, still not fully committed to you, we just ask, Heavenly Father, even tonight, you will strengthen them to make that decision. They will not regret it, Father. We've never regretted it. We've let you down. We've turned our backs upon you sometimes, but we've never regretted it. And so, Father, we just ask it, if there be anyone, speak to their hearts, Father. And we just ask it through the pleading of thy Spirit. Someone may come to the saving knowledge of the Savior. And wherever the Lord has been proclaimed tonight, Father, we ask that his redemptive power through the Spirit of the Lord, through the Spirit, will enter into the hearts and minds of men and women, and boys and girls, even to the salvation of their precious souls. So, Lord, we thank you again. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Psalm 569. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the wonderful words that we've been saying. And we just ask you, Heavenly Father, that you will implant them in our hearts tonight the way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, Lord, we just ask that you will part us now with your richest blessing. Go with those who have to leave us, Father. And as we gather around thy table, give us that peace and contentment cometh only from the Lord Jesus Christ, as we remember him as he hung on that cross in Calvary. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name.